Okay, huddle up, sports fans. Live from Studio B, it's showtime for Ken, Mark, and John, the sports authorities, here on the new CKIW Radio 76.
Well, here we are once again in Studio B. Time once again where you see the sports authorities. Like that?
Not the experts.
We're not experts. No. We're better.
Yes, that's right. Experts we don't give a damn about.
Right. Actually, right. You're always wrong.
Experts that I always see like on ESPN or Fox One.
Yeah.
Ugh. Nothing. I mean, who are these people? Just because you play the game, you think you know it?
No, most of these guys haven't played the game.
Nor shall they.
Yeah.
Well, we're so glad to see you here, matter of fact. Here we are at Studio B. John Sarra here, along with the super CPA, Ken Pocket. Hiya, Ken.
Hey, John, and hello to everyone out there in hot radio land.
Yeah, only if you're in the Midwest in America. There's people in Spain going, eh, it's okay out here. And over to the left, going left or right on your radio dial, the man that's up in the balcony, but in your hearts, number 335, the old referee himself, our super, watch yourself, our super sport director, Mark Milicek. Hiya, Mark.
Hi, John. Hi, Kenny. Up in the gondola.
Yes. Well, Mark, did you have fun cutting lawns out there in the heat today?
Oh, it was wonderful. Only 90 degrees, and yesterday was 90 plus.
Are you still cutting Mr. I logos in people's lawns?
Of course.
Yeah, good. Of course. Honor Mr. I, yes.
That's right. And then for all of my Maple Leaf fans, I'm writing Dave Keon on their front lawn.
Ah, okay. Right, because Dave Keon was the last quality player they had, and he retired in 1972, I think.
Yep, and then he went to the World Hockey Association and played for the Hartford Whalers and then the Minnesota Fighting Saints, I think, or something.
Why, do you, like, quit?
No, because Harold Ballard's a jerk. And wouldn't give him a contract.
Who's Harold Ballard, for those who don't know?
Used to be the owner of the Toronto Maple Leafs. A shitty owner.
Better.
Was he a cack?
Yeah, he could be in the cack Hall of Fame.
Okay. The Toronto version, of course.
Toronto, yeah, the Canadian version of the CAC Hall of Fame.
It's too filled right now.
I know. We're adding more people as
That's
we
right.
go. It's
we're going to have to add the Illich wing.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, we didn't even tell you like all the rules in the beginning. Okay, so we are not bought and paid for by any sport entity anywhere, so we can tell you exactly how it is when it comes to sports. So if we think it's awful, we'll tell you it's awful. Not like those suck-ups on ESPN.
We give you all the facts and more.
With the highest quality.
The highest
standards.
That's
highest
right.
standards here.
Here in the Call Mark Studios. You got a dandelion, Call Mark. Anyways, we do not have the FCC here. We do follow the DMCA rules, which means we can say whatever we got feel like. Sometimes the language gets a little salty, and if it does, get an anchovy because we're ready to go.
Just remember, if we use profanity, it's the highest standards that we apply it to.
That's right. We pronounce every syllable.
Yes.
That's right.
We don't slang them.
And we say it with the utmost respect.
Yes.
Yeah, to women only. Okay, so what happens is that our super sport director writes up this book, Little Thin Today.
Little Thin, yep.
I see it must have been like 30 lawns today or something, eh?
Yeah, it's pretty close to 30.
Yep. Anyway, so Mark writes up these little topics for us to kick off with, and although we're not going to kick off anytime soon, you'll hear us count numbers, and those are the numbers of the topics that we're going to go to. We did not read any of this. It's not rehearsed or anything else, just like Lou Gordon. So it's three guys here in Studio B ready to hit sports and talk about hitting it. It's time for our sport director, Mark Milicek, to start us off today. Go ahead, Mac.
Okay, yeah, it was
what hockey thing are we going to kick off with today?
Well, yeah. It's
90 degrees outside. We're talking hockey.
Yeah, well, you know, doing those lawns today, it was hard to get up to the gondola to get this stuff typed up. So, you know, it took a while to get up there. But
ice is kind of melting at this point, isn't it?
Ice is at a premium.
It is if you're in Nashville. You know what? Nashville actually deserved, and thank God that they got a Stanley Cup. I mean, those people came out. You know, I mean, say what you want about the Hicks and why they shouldn't have a hockey team, blah, blah, blah. But, first of all, change the colors. If you had a color TV, as opposed to huddling around the old 19-inch black and white Zenith that we do here, you couldn't tell. I mean, really, what's the colors of the teams? Yellow and black, yellow and white. Predominantly yellow. You know, essentially yellow and blue, but depending on which way you look at it. I mean, it was like you couldn't see anything. Oh, time to get up. You couldn't see anything going on. You know, who had the puck? Who had the puck? The guy in the yellow. Okay, fine. But those people outside were going crazy. You know, and who knew that they were even going to, like, enjoy hockey ever? Especially in the Mid-South. You know, but really, what does Nashville have sport-wise? Triple-A ball.
Yeah.
And college football.
College football?
University of Tennessee. You're going to go to Tennessee?
Yeah. In Nashville? I didn't think that's where they were.
Or is it Vanderbilt? What, there's a college in...
Yeah, I think it's Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt, I think, is in...
Regardless, they don't have any pro team, which is really kind of weird. They don't have one.
But like a football. Where's the Tennessee Titans? Where are they at?
In Tennessee.
In Tennessee somewhere.
There you go. I mean, it's how much everybody knows.
Yeah.
You know, Memphis doesn't have anything. Isn't Memphis a little bit bigger than Tennessee? Or than Nashville?
Memphis is the capital.
Yeah. Kind of weird, ain't it? Yeah. Anyways, whatever. So, I'm glad to see they had it. They really came out. It's really too bad that they didn't win, only because I wanted to have PK go up to Montreal, you know, like we were talking before, you know, take his 4x Saturn and go up the stairs, you know, and say, there it is. But, you know, they got a lot farther than the Canadiens got, you know.
That's right. He could have paraded that Stanley Cup up to the Bell Center, then took a catfish and threw it on the Bell Center ice.
It's like, look, guys... From folks who are in the metropolitan Detroit area where we're at, you know, if you're going to throw something on the ice, if you're going to throw, you know, an urchin from the sea on the ice, be cool with it. Know when to throw it, you know, and just don't throw one. It's so, just watch any playoff games from the Red Wings, probably about 2008, you know. Watch how octopi is thrown. You know, there's an actual cool to it. You just don't, like, throw a fish on the ice and go, you know? It's not what it's all about.
I'll throw a kite fish on the ice.
That's right.
I would splat.
Yeah, Gomer.
Shazam. Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's probably about the only drawback that they had. I mean, they're like a little brother. They were trying so hard to, like, get that going. Guys, no, it doesn't even make sense.
I'll give them credit, though. It's better than throwing rats on the ice.
True that.
Yeah, like the Florida Panthers. Yeah.
You know, how many times have people thrown things on the ice repeatedly? You know, I think Detroit's only one that really does.
Yeah.
You know, and really, that's some serious oomph. Anybody can put a catfish down their pants and get in, but I mean, get an octopi?
But you know what? But I got to say this, too. Typical of Illich where he cartooned it.
Yeah, true.
L the octopus and all that bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, coming down from the
that big purple.
The raptors.
Let's take this cool tradition and turn it into a cartoon. Ugh.
Well, next year Nashville will have a big catfish coming down from the.
Yeah, but are you scared of a catfish? No, it reminds me of a deputy dog. You! Then you catfish, you! No, which I guess would go hand in hand with Nashville.
What else could he have thrown on the ice?
Muskrat, you?
Bottle of Jack Daniels? I don't know.
Maybe that's what he should do. Maybe
that would have made a mess, though.
That's in Tennessee, yeah.
Deputy Dog.
Empty bottle. Jack Daniels.
Well, yeah, because somebody would have to drink it.
Drink it first, that's your one.
Yeah, but could you imagine if that went splat on the ice? That wouldn't be too hip.
No.
But it's just, then they had like a picture of some guy eating a raw catfish. Huh. I mean, dorky. So yeah. I'll give him a loser on that one.
Loser.
However, you know, hooray for your thoughts. I mean, people are going crazy, and hopefully they catch a fever. And next year when they're sorely disappointed, you'll feel like a Red Wing fan or actually a Maple Leaf fan.
Boo!
Since 1967.
It's going to change, Maple Leaf fans.
Yep, they're going to go back to not making the playoffs again.
No. Upswing time.
Because they're moving to Hamilton.
No.
Oh, the Red Wings are here.
There we go. You don't get extra credit for having sucked for so long. Just because you're better than you were doesn't mean you're necessarily on this long incline to the cup. It just means that you have had a better year, and you have to have another better year to show that it's a trend.
That's what I'm saying. They're on their way up.
You don't know that.
I know that.
Did you see that Gordie Howe isn't on the cup anymore?
What?
He's not. It's, you know how they, like, keep...
They take layers off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so the last of the Gordie Howe layers is bye-bye after this year.
Huh.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
You know?
And freaking Phil Kessel's name's on there twice now. So, aren't you glad you're out of Toronto, Phil?
So is Gretzky's.
But that's okay, Phil. All the youngsters we got in that trade, Phil, they're going to be coming along.
Coming along and flipping those hamburgers.
Kasperi Kapanen is going to be another Phil Kessel.
Absolutely. You know, it was a good Stanley Cup. You know, good action, good back forth. I mean, everybody thought, oh, my God, it's going to be four and out. You know, but it actually did well. I mean, congratulations to, not to Pittsburgh, because who likes them?
Boo!
Whoops, nope, that's not you.
Loser.
You suck.
Yeah, that button is only for one team.
Yeah, that's why it's blue.
We want to say congratulations to the NHL, too. And congratulations to Gary Bettman. And
why?
Loser.
Yeah, there you go, Bettman. Are you listening? You're a loser.
Until he comes out at the Little Caesar Arena, you know, in September, he's all smiles and happy if you could find the little 5'3" turd, you know. Oh, it's Gary Bettman. That's how you can tell he's here.
Yep.
I wish I had something where a flush, you know. Oh, well. Anyways.
Come out and give a crappy little speech.
Yeah,
I'm
really.
I'm so honored to be here for the opening of the Little Caesars Arena.
Uh-oh.
Just wait. He'll be there for the NHL Awards.
Oh, yeah.
And then next week they're that just comes right along with the expansion draft next week. All the teams that
is
they
that
have,
right? When is that in?
Next Sunday on Father's Day, all the teams have to have their list in of the players that they're protecting, the players they're not protecting, and then the Vegas team has 72 hours to make their selections on who they're picking off each team. And then on Wednesday during the award ceremony, they're going to announce who Vegas is.
Yeah, they're going to load
choosing.
Up on Red Wings because we've got so many great players.
You wake up,
oh.
Las Vegas selects with their third round, Erickson, defense.
Yes.
Yay!
Jimmy
Woo!
Howard.
Woo!
No way.
Cornwall,
no way.
Defense from Detroit.
No. No way.
Johan Franzen.
There you go. That'd be the best one. And his contract.
Well, put it this way. They're going to announce the protected list on Sunday. So Tuesday on the sports authorities, we will go over all the lists. And
everyone.
And I will tell you who they are going to pick. And it's not going to be all Red Wings because they suck.
And everybody's going to be... waiting in anticipation to hear Mark's analysis of who they're going to draft.
That's Swami right. And no baloney will be here.
That's
next
right.
Tuesday.
I'll let you know who they're going to be picking
the authority
off each
and
team.
Not the expert.
There you go. I'll put the towel on the head and away we go.
That's right. I'll be a towel head for a day.
Say hello to Dearborn for us, won't you? Don't get deported. God, you know, not with your tan. You shouldn't do that. Yeah. That'd be bad. Really bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I cut grass with short sleeves today, so yeah, it's...
Yeah, no kidding, man. You can walk by a light bulb and, you know, once it gets through that fur coat, hell yeah, man. Alrighty. So, you know what I saw was number 3 today I thought was interesting.
Number 3. Yeah, the Detroit Tigers' first round selection in the baseball draft is Alex Fado. Is that how you pronounce that?
Yes, as good as any.
Cares. Yeah. That's why we're experts.
Yeah.
Or no, that's why we're authorities, not experts.
That's right.
Yep. With the number 18 pick. Fado is a right-handed pitcher from the University of Florida. He's a Gator. I don't know, Kenny. What do you think?
Well, it's the second time they drafted this guy.
Yeah. They drafted him in 2014. Yeah.
They liked him so much, he went back and did it again.
Yeah, it's buy one, right. Get one.
Explain to the folks why that happened.
Well, he didn't sign with them the first time.
But they drafted him anyway.
So they drafted him again.
Yeah. Why did they draft him in 14? Hopefully not number 2.
Well, you know...
Yeah, no kidding.
It's the Tigers. What can they say?
14, yeah, well. You know, here it is. All right, so how much does he get? With the 18th overall selection, the Tigers are allowed to
pay him $28 million a year.
They have 60... They have...
Like Cabrera.
$6.5 million to spend on all 40 of their draft picks. You get 40 draft picks a year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how many baseball players are out there? Go, kids, go.
And how many of them actually make it?
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Well, how many is on the Tigers
2%,
right now? Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, but if you do, you get $3,200 an hour.
That's right.
If you can make Cabrera money. I mean, we're talking, you know, before we went on air, and of course, who crunches numbers faster than Kenny here? But we're taking a look at how much Cabrera makes an hour, every hour. He makes $3,200 and change every hour. Which means if you slept for 5 hours, you just made $15,000 plus.
He could be sitting there watching Deputy Dog cartoons for an hour, and he'd make $3,200.
That's right. That's right.
You take take a dump, and he's getting paid for it.
You can watch Batman and get $1,500. Imagine. Oh. All right, so if it's $1,500 for a half, so it's $750 for 15. All right, so 15 divided by... It would be interesting seeing how much per minute, you know. $750 bucks for 15 minutes. God, which means if you listen to... all of the original and got a DeVita, you know, you just made yourself $750 bucks every day, every hour, every minute. God, man. Phew. Is this guy married? Has anybody even heard about a family or anything around him? I mean, his private life is kind of like, where'd it go?
Yeah.
Ever since the drinking thing or whatever, his private life has been sort of...
Yeah,
brushed off, under, it's
off
pretty,
the charts. Yeah, I mean, just off the.
Yeah, but you've never heard of a family or kids or anything like that. Ooh, maybe he's living in Ferndale. Talking about Ferndale, here we go. The big picture here is that the Tigers in Detroit may be sellers at the deadline. Now,
very well might be.
Everybody's going JD Martinez, JD Martinez, JD Martinez, but. We have
Woo-hoo!
Something new and interesting in the trading deadline. Guess who gets to go from Detroit?
Woo! Not sure where you're going with this.
Upton. As much as everybody's going to go for J.D. Martinez and get him as a rental or whatever, Upton is hitting lights out.
Yeah, he is.
And he's got a trapdoor contract. So, Upton can look around and go, this place is going to be Dogsville for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you trade Upton, who could the best thing everybody always says for somebody who's marginal is he can go to a team that's just on the verge and needs that little pushover word.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, you're not going to get rid of Cabrera. You're not going to get rid of Verlander. Crinkly Dick. You're not going to get rid of any of these guys. The only guy you have that you can get rid of, although a little pricey, is Upton. You know? Because it just goes to show that Upton had an off year, and no one's looking at it. Think about what you could get for Upton, because he's, even though he has a trapdoor contract, you know, he's not going to be a month-and-a-half rental. You know, J.D. Martinez, he's going to want the moon and probably get it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So the thing is with Upton is he's already proven his worth. Had one off, they're going to say he had one off year last year,
mm-hmm.
you know, for whatever yeah. reason, you know. Now he's hitting lights out. So, who is your only trading prospect that you have for Detroit? Upton. Nobody will see that coming at all.
I think you have several guys that you could market. You mentioned J.D. Martinez. I also think Kinsler. Kinsler has a no-trade clause. There are 10 teams that he would have to approve a trade to, but the other 19 are fair game. And it's quite possible that they could move him to one of the other teams, and he would have no say in it. And he has a really... team-friendly contract. He has an option next year for $10 million. So,
yeah, but for a second baseman that's declining?
Well, he's declining, but he still has value.
True that. Yeah, because really, if you could bundle a J.D. Martinez and a Kinsler,
mm-hmm.
you'd get something at least.
Right, and, you know, I think there are teams out there that would look at Alex Avila the way he's hitting this year and say, there's a guy that we could plug in and we could use him.
You know, against right-handed pitchers.
Against right-handed pitchers. He's very good defensively. Yeah. Yeah, so you could use him at Boston and platoon him with Leon. You know, that's one destination he could go.
The cool thing is that he's not getting beaned as much as he was in his first tour with the Tigers.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And Dombrowski knows what he's getting.
Give you another name that they could dangle out there. Justin Wilson. He's having a very good year. Very good year.
Very good year, and he's not making a ton of money.
Correct.
But then wouldn't you want to keep him then? Because what are you going to trade him for? Trade him for another person just like him?
No, you trade him for, again, you're trading prospects. And the whole idea being that you need to kickstart your rebuild because this team is going nowhere. And you have several dead contracts on this team of players who are just playing out the string. I mean, do you really think Victor Martinez is going to be a major contributor going forward? Not at all. And, you know, you got Sanchez, he's coming off the books. You got a few other guys coming off the books. And you're waiting it out at this point.
Did you see the Boston game where Cabrera's on first and Martinez hits one out to left? And it's a, you know, and they throw him out.
Yeah.
God, he cannot run.
No.
He's not going anywhere. He's an easy DP.
Yep.
If he doesn't put it in the corner, I mean deep in the corner, so he at least can leg out a single. You know, why does he... God, how would he do that? You know, in order to still make his money,
uh-huh.
you know, he still has to... can he go on like the DL, like the four-year DL, you know? Or couldn't he get like surgery and I'm doing like the air... quote thing, have a surgery soon, you know?
Why are you using air quotes? We're talking Victor Martinez. Think knees.
That's what I'm saying. Have a surgery.
He
wink,
will.
Wink, you know?
He'll have a real surgery pretty soon. He's about due.
Yeah. And so, yeah. But that's okay, though, because then that way everybody saves face, you know?
Huh?
They can bring up that kid from Toledo, Hicks, you know, plug him in. Or... plug him into first base, put, you know, Cabrera, you know, because you want a 260 hitter as your DH.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you.
Let's face it, though. Where do you think this team is heading? I mean, we have 15 teams in the American League. You know how many teams have fewer wins than the Tigers right now?
Guess.
Take a guess, John.
Sure. 10.
3.
No.
There you go.
3. 3 teams have fewer wins. This team's going nowhere. Oh, we're struggling to get to 500 because he said, you know, oh, you know, if we're above 500 at the end of June, if we're not above 500 at the end of June, we're going to make our veterans available. So everyone's got this idea in mind, 500. It's 500!
Means we're competing.
Means you're treading water. You're going nowhere.
We're competing.
And we're struggling to get there. We're 2 games below right now.
Look at that happy face you guys had. Guess how many?
God,
cares?
No, I mean, the point is, out of 15 teams, most of them have more wins than you. You're down near the bottom. Oh, we're only 3 games out of first place. You suck!
That's the whole problem. You look at the whole Central Division.
Uh-huh. You mean the American League Comedy Central?
Comedy Central. Yeah. That's right. And you look at it and you're going, gee, you get a 4 or 5 game winning streak and you go from middle of the pack to the top. Because the whole division sucks.
Right, except you don't get a 4 game winning streak.
Well, but I'm just saying, everybody thinks that, gee, you go on a mini winning streak, this team can, you know, eke out a 2, 3, 4 game winning streak, and all of a sudden you're from here and you're knocking on first place because Minnesota's not that good, Chicago's not that good, Cleveland's not playing that good, Kansas City sucks.
But every time something good happens, every time you get a ray of sunshine, you get the clouds moving in. So we got Buck Farmer pitching tonight. He's had two really good starts in a row, right? Well, what did you just see on your phone before we came down, Mark? What did they say about Michael Fulmer?
We have Michael Fulmer is day-to-day with bursitis in his right shoulder.
He's done.
Yeah. And he looked terrible that last start.
And he is the saving grace. He was your star pitcher.
Yeah. So, okay. So we got Buck Farmer pitching. Okay. You just lost Fulmer.
Okay.
Where are you going?
Annabelle.
Yeah, that's right.
No. Where's your outfielder who can throw a strike?
Oh, bring up Anthony! Yeah. Bring up Anthony Goes!
Woohoo!
You notice we haven't heard anything about him lately, have we?
Because he's in silence.
Well, that's right.
As a matter of fact, he goes out in the night at the Little Caesars Arena and pitches on a pitchback net, you know, that nobody ever sees.
At 98 miles an hour.
Yeah, so it bounces back something in the head.
And then he calls Brad on the phone. Hey, I hit 98. So then he tells the press, hey, Anthony's throwing 98.
Does anybody, what we should do is actually take a look and see if you can buy a pitchback nut. You know, you have to be able to. I can about imagine all the legal stickers they have on it. Do not throw a baseball in the middle. Do not do the blah, 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 blah. And all these stupid little disclaimers they have to have.
Yeah.
But a pitchback nut was a badass thing at one time, you know. Uh-huh. Except for when you threw a perfect strike, and, man, it came right back at your nose. Whoa, look how kitties. But we actually saw a couple around the other day. You know, I mean, the kids actually have them outside. I don't know if they have for soccer or whatever. But it was heartening to see, you know, that kids would rather throw a ball against the net as opposed to going out and have fun with other kids. But, hey, you know, at least it strengthens your arm and does whatever. We got to take a look at that, see if we can get one of those, you know.
The official sports authorities.
Yeah.
Pitchback net. Yeah.
There you go. Signed by us, the authorities.
That's right.
Look for us on the box.
So that when we have one of our events, we can have people out there pitching against the pitchback net.
That's right. Yeah, but then what would you go for as far back as you... let's see. If you threw the ball in the pitchback net, because they always had like a little square arena right in the middle, little area. You know, if you could throw a pitch, if you could throw a ball fast enough where it'd come back at your nose, you know, the closest to your nose wins. You know, speed counts.
Of course, we'd have to have an ambulance standing by to take care of all the shoulder injuries that
we just send them down Woodward to Tiger Stadium.
America.
First, we have to have them sign waivers.
That's right.
Ooh. bursitis isn't a fun thing, and if it's in the hottest part of the summer, bursitis kind of works out a little bit better when you're a little bit warmer. You know, so, man, come September, what were they doing? Wasn't he on a pitch count? Wait a minute, Kenny, this is for you. Wasn't he on a pitch count? And isn't that supposed to be the reason why people are on a pitch count nowadays, so they don't get, like, all blown out by June?
Well, yeah, the pitch count per game, and then they also look at the young pitchers and give them an innings limit, too. And sometimes teams violate that, and we saw what happened with Matt Harvey.
True that.
That's got all excited about. We're in the World Series. We get Pitch Harvey, and he's fine. And the next year, he's shit and winds up in the DL. And now, where is he this year? Struggling to get back to where he was.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's rough stuff. So, if you have, really, so now you have, that boosts up Zimmer. You know, it was kind of funny. We were talking with the people who actually earned their money as a free agent. There are so few.
Yep.
You know, none. However, there is a pitcher in, we got to figure this one out. How much money did Zimmerman get? 118?
No, I thought it was 100. Who got 132? Was that Upton or was that Zimmerman?
It was Upton.
Okay, so yeah. Then Zimmerman got 100 and closer to 118. Yeah.
All right, so, and then how much did that fine man in Washington get that was from the Tigers?
Scherzer?
Yeah.
Oh, God. That was huge. That was like $200
million. Did he get 200?
I think so, yeah.
Close to it.
All right. And this is a guy that's had, like, what, two perfect innings or two perfect games. You know, his
in
ERA
1 year.
Is, yeah.
Uh-huh.
His ERA is still fabulous. He's still pitching. That's a lot of bread, but the boy is making it.
Yes.
No one's going, gee, he's overrated. It is. Well, I mean, you make a fifth of a billion for throwing a baseball. But.
So you give Zimmerman 100 and some million.
For tanking.
Yeah. For nothing.
Yeah.
Although he has looked a little bit better lately.
But
lately.
You know what that always means?
It just...
It's always like the abusive drunk who, well, he fell asleep and he didn't actually kill us today. He didn't hit me. So he's on the right track.
Well, yeah, but we've seen so many crash and burns here that, you know, at least the guy's serviceable. Okay? I mean, the other day at the national broadcast of the Tigers-Red Sox game, and Brad Osmus is talking about he's got to figure out some way to use Francisco Rodriguez in these games. It's like, why?
Yeah, why?
Why? He should earn the...
playing time.
Playing time,
well,
right.
A lot of Tiger people are on reputation.
Well, that's exactly it.
I mean, really, I'm thinking if Upton got 132 mil, how many years, though?
Six, I think.
Was it six?
It's five or six.
Okay, and he's got a trapdoor already? Wow.
Yeah, after two.
Wow.
Yep.
You know?
That was a honey of a deal.
You would wonder if he takes the trapdoor, and if he's gonzo this year, you know, trade him. Well, how does that work? If he gets traded to, like, say, San Diego... He can still invoke the trapdoor.
Right.
So what?
And that's the risk, because if he has a really good year and he thinks he can get more, he'll opt out. But if he's having a shitty year, well, he's locked in.
I wonder who would go 150 for him. I mean, what is he, 27, 28?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, around there.
He's
okay.
He's not real old yet.
No.
He's not going to get a 10-year contract.
No.
Ugh, unless you sign with Texas. But, I mean, if you got a guy who is really kind of iffy in the outfield, can steal a base, can hit, you know, and if he goes into, like, say, Colorado, yeah. I mean,
with his swing, he can do a lot of damage in Colorado.
Yeah, because he elevates the ball. They made
commitment
to Ian Desmond this year, but he's a ground ball hitter.
Yeah, but if Upton goes there.
Upton can loft the ball.
If you have, hello, Mr. Boris, please represent me this year, you know, coming up. Because, really, Colorado is, where are they at right now?
First place.
There you go. Yep. And they haven't been out since the first of the year, you know. So, you know, what an extra, I mean, that guy would be worth 150 mil there. I think 5 years.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, if you're smart enough.
But do they have room in the outfield? They got Carlo Gonzalez. They have Blackman. I don't know who's the third outfielder over there, but I know they got two.
Upton.
They got two real young, good outfielders over there, Blackman and Carlos Gonzalez. He plays right field. But those guys, Blackman's hitting the lights out.
Oh, yeah.
Gonzalez still hasn't come around yet.
Yeah. Okay, so then you go to the American League, you know, and you say, okay, this guy is the prime time DH. Can come off the bench, can spell some innings, but his fielding is, you know, it's slightly below serviceable. So if this guy, all he has to do is concentrate on the big swing.
I'll tell you, one team that might be interested is Tampa Bay. They have a lot of pitching, and their hitting is real thin.
Yeah, but look at where you're playing.
Yeah.
Next. You know, I mean, you're not going to hit much there. Colorado,
that ballpark's pretty good in Hitters Park.
Yeah, and you know,
it's a little bit
far.
Plus,
they have outfield
out,
needs because Kiermaier's out now for a while.
Right, they got what's his name?
Souza.
Yeah, is playing the outfield now. He was an infielder.
Yeah.
Now he's in the outfield. But Tampa Bay's got tons of pitching. You might be able to get a pitcher out of them. Maybe.
Yeah, Matt Andreese, maybe, or a. And what are their other young studs?
Yeah, you won't get Archer.
No. You don't want to pay Archer anyway. Yeah. You want a guy under team control. Yeah. A guy like Andreessi would fit in real well.
Yeah, or who's this? Who's their second starter? I should know this. From fantasy. Oh, well. But, yeah, you might be able to get maybe the second or third starter.
Yeah. Yeah, well, here's the story.
In a closer.
Mm-hmm. Remember Mr. P from the Dodgers?
Puig?
Yeah. And where is he now?
With Dodgers. The Dodgers?
Yeah.
And what's he doing?
Hitting the lights out.
There you go. You think, what changed that? You know?
Sending him down to the minors.
That he's actually, yeah, but I mean, has anybody really heard about him being a head case again this year?
No. No. Everything's nice and quiet now. Yeah. He's finally, I guess, grown up.
You wonder. You wonder what twisted that, you know? Because he was so ready to be shipped out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's almost like ready to go to Boston. But then again, we take a look at what Detroit gave up 2 years ago and went to the Mets. And look what he's earning his money also.
Yes.
Yes, yep. He was on a DL, but boy, oh boy. You know, if you would have kept...
Now he's hurt again.
Yeah, well...
Yeah.
But if you would have kept him and kept the fine pitcher from Washington, who shall not be named, you know, I mean...
Yeah, Max.
Except you already blew out your money on Verlander and Cabrera.
No kidding.
See, that's the problem. They mismanaged all their money.
Right.
Right. Because, really, you would have had, with Max, a starter for years to come.
Yep.
You know? And our good friend from the Mets, you know, I mean, he's a five-star guy.
Yeah.
Five-tool guy. I don't understand the quick move with him. I don't, unless he was really awful. In the clubhouse, you know, or something, or he wasn't controllable or something. I mean, that was a quick hook.
Well, he wore out his welcome in Oakland.
Yeah, and everywhere.
In Boston.
Yeah, but I mean, he's been the longest, well, in Oakland for the beginning, but this is almost the longest he's ever been, right?
Yeah.
In Boston? I mean, in New York?
New York, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And he's hitting lights out.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, really, until the Yankees started seeing life. You know, this guy, everybody was looking at the Mets.
Yep.
Okay. And this guy was, so all the guys, they kind of got traded away. But now, I mean, so you're thinking that Spatis and Max, I'm trying to think, oh, we're doing fine. Price, not so much.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. But then now you take a look at the haul that you got for them, nothing, 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 nothing. And now with a guy on a DH, big time nothing. You know, that was a trade that was supposed to get you all kinds of prospects and propel you all the way up. Norris was, matter of fact, Norris was like the centerpiece of this thing.
Yes.
You know, and where's he at? Whoops, I only have that. Wait.
Struggling with his command.
Which was always his rep.
Yes.
You know, as much as they try to make him into some kind of weirdo feel-good story,
uh-huh.
You know, that he lives in a van down by the river.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like nobody had any kind of inspiration by him.
But that's the thing about prospects, is you never know how they're going to develop. And Norris is still young. You give him another couple years. Left-handers do develop more slowly. But you look at a guy like Fulmer, when he came in here and said, lights out fastball, secondary pitches, need some work. He found his changeup, and he's been lights out ever since.
And now it's lights out for him.
That's lights out for his shoulder, yeah.
Yeah, because, man, when you get bursitis, you know...
It doesn't go away right away.
No, it doesn't go away at all. You know, it's you really got to, like, really... God, I don't even know what you'd have to do to inject it, you know? We'll have to get the medical guy to show up with this.
We'll have our doctor come in next week.
Yeah.
Our medical authority.
I'll make a phone call.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't think bursitis, especially if it's on his throwing arm... Uh-huh. You're just going to irritate it, aggravate it every single pitch.
Uh-huh.
So how do you get out of this?
Well, you know? He's probably going to have a steroid shot.
Yeah, but that lasts only so long.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know? He's going to have to get it injected, and it's going to have to loosen it up.
And then,
but
what?
He can only get so many of them.
Yeah, right.
Every so often.
Right.
And then what, all of a sudden you tighten up in the second inning? You know? I mean, you got a 30-pitch inning. Whew!
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get a whip for that. You know? I mean, he's done. Right now, I mean, you can't. It's not like it needs like a knee or a Tommy John or something. You don't come back from this. You know?
Yeah.
See ya. So your haul netted you nothing. You know, it didn't help you on the books because you just started throwing money like crazy when you did. So the Tigers, for that big whoosh, really got ripped, you know. So, way to go. And the funny thing is, I mean, is that a Dombrowski thing? Kind of not. I mean, this is what you got, you know. But I don't know why he said, because I think a lot of people said they settled way too easy. Way, way, way too easy. And that's what I don't like about three-way trades, you know. You don't get it straight up, and you should have got a lot more people. And that's why when I always hear, you know, trading for prospects and stuff, you know, one, I think it was you who said, Kenny, a couple of weeks ago, if you get three prospects, one may make it.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, and you know those other two are just going to be floundering around AA, AAA, you know. And that's why I kind of like, give me a star for a couple of starters.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, I think back to the CC Sabathia deal when Cleveland traded him off to Milwaukee, and they got the centerpiece that was Matt LaPorta, who went... Okay, it's like, okay, so what did you really get? Well, they got Michael Brantley in the deal. Nobody thought he was going to do anything. So that's how this stuff works. Yep. That's how it works. Brantley was nothing for about 3 years and then hit it, and then got injured.
Yeah, true that. You know, but that's what you kind of... That's why I don't like the prospect thing, because really, one out of three, and maybe that one does something... But, I mean, how many times do you get a phenom coming out of a prospect kind of deal? Because clubs know this is a prospect. They're not going to give you the number one prospect. Never but ever.
Well, almost never. We saw it with the Chris Sale deal.
Yeah, okay, true that.
It does happen, but it usually doesn't.
Yeah, but how many times do you get Chris Sale?
Exactly. You know?
I mean, the most genius move of all time, Chris Sale. You know, so Dombrowski, everything that you do, I mean, tip your hat. He's not really going crazy over there in Boston. You know, I mean, whatever he did, he settled down. He doesn't actually have the Mr. I checkbook, you know. But you got Chris Sale, who is, can we say serviceable? Extremely?
Yeah.
And how many years are you going to be, you know, under club rule? And for cheap?
Yep.
Who represented Sale last time around? Last contract. Wasn't Boris.
Nope.
You know? Because I think he's got, what, three more years?
Yeah, I think so.
Damn.
But see, that is because Boston had a good farm system.
Correct.
Tigers have no farm system, so they can't give any good prospects to anybody to get anybody good.
That's why they're on the other side. And they're looking at, well, we should be sellers now because we have a roster that's loaded with big money players, right? Or, you know, $200 million payroll, right? And
uh-oh,
we're below 500.
Right.
How's that work? Not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, Boston could afford to give away prospects to get Sale because they had prospects to give them.
Sure. But they box themselves into a place where they not only don't have the prospects to give, they also don't have salary room to give.
Right. That's what I'm
saying. So they're looking at saying, well, you know what we really need to do is we need to unload some of these guys. But who wants them?
That's not, they're in a lose-lose situation no matter what they do.
Exactly. And it all comes back to Mr. I wants to win before he dies. So we're going to keep trying to...
Guess news, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's dead now, so everybody kick back. Enjoy. You know, everybody kicks.
Yeah.
Who was, because this brings me back to the point of who did we get from Atlanta in 74, the pitcher, that we gave up a prospect for? Was it
Doyle Alexander?
That's right.
Wait, was that 74?
Or a little later?
It was later. It was 84. They're
going up against Toronto. 84.
No, it was 87.
Yeah.
It was 87.
Right.
They gave up John Smoltz to get Doyle Alexander. Alexander went, what, 9-1, I think?
He was badass.
Yeah.
For a year.
Yeah.
You know?
And John Smoltz went on to make the
Hall
of Fame.
For a decade, yeah. I mean, really, to get Doyle Alexander, that was kind of cool. But see, that to me is a Tiger trade. Win now, burn out quickly, and then give everybody else. But you know, the funny thing is, we should actually, out of the Dombrowski years, we should almost see how many Tiger prospects got traded out and how many actually did something.
Very few.
No kidding.
Very, very few. Mostly what we dealt was garbage. And they were placeholders because we were getting players that teams wanted to unload. So we'd pick up the odd guy here. He's on his last year, like a, sometimes it worked out and sometimes it didn't, because sometimes we'd pick up a Aubrey Huff. Sometimes we'd pick up a, what was that guy, the pitcher, the left-handed pitcher from Seattle who flamed out? Remember him? Washburn? Jared Washburn?
Good guy.
Yeah, I mean, we picked up some of these guys that were dogs, but sometimes we picked up guys that performed. But if they want to get rid of the guy and you offer him a placeholder, guy who really isn't that good, you can say, well, okay, the prospect. The real fact of the matter is, though, that the Tigers went along for so many years adding veteran players that made a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they kept stringing it out, even though they weren't bringing talent in through the draft, and kept it going, and they thought it could go on forever. At least Mr. I did. So it's like, well, let's sign a Zimmerman. Let's sign an Upton. Let's sign a Mike Avilas, a Mike Pelfrey. Yeah, let's do that.
It's like they didn't worry. Notice how Washington didn't really put up a kick to get Zimmerman out of there?
No.
At all.
No.
I mean, and this guy was supposed to be your lights out. This was your dude.
He was declining. His velocity had declined for a couple of years prior to him becoming a free agent. So they had concerns.
So who doesn't do their due diligence? But who was the shortstop that Detroit gave up to? I think Toronto. And they were, or second baseman. They went, oh my God, how did we give up this guy?
Devin Travis? You mean the guy that just had surgery again?
Yeah. Nice
boy,
going.
He's been so busted up.
Yeah. I mean, really, they were like, oh my God, if we, because who would we, was that the Mike, the Price trade?
No. No. Anthony Ghost!
That's who we had a trade?
Yeah, that's a ghost trade.
Yeah.
Okay. Because there was so worried.
Oh, we won that trade, didn't we?
Yeah,
oh,
I mean,
Lord.
That's what you kind of wonder. All these guys that we trade, all the guys that Detroit traded Mudhens for, how many of them worked out into our favor and how many didn't? And at this particular point, just like what you were just saying, Mark, I mean, the ghost trade, that's a wash.
Yeah.
Big time. I mean, and how many wash trades? I mean, we had the veteran for 1 year, but I'm trying to think how many. Once Detroit had a really deep AAA, but it shows you once they got to the big leagues, I mean, these guys are prospects. That's why I don't ever try for a prospect when you're trading somebody big. Never, but ever. I mean, it is the big gamble. It's to put the dollar in the dollar machine and pull the reel. But I'm giving you somebody that is obviously proven.
But here's the problem with prospects. It's a numbers game. You don't know when you bring a guy in like a Norris. You don't know what he's going to be in 3 years. You don't know. You plug him in. And the problem that the Tigers have is they have nobody to plug in. So what they're trying to do is bring some young guys in that they can control for a while so that they have a future and they can start rebuilding a little bit. But if you're going to draft a guy in the second round who's a stretch, who St. Louis said they'd have drafted in the ninth round, guess what? You're screwing up. Okay, you're looking like the Lions at this point.
Yeah, like they did this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they drafted a guy from a junior college that...
There's not much information on him because he was a JUCO player.
Yeah,
yeah, but
6 foot six and 200 and some...
He's got a lot of power and he's got a lot of swing and miss.
Great. That's what we need.
Just like another guy that we had, like Stephen Moya, who was trotted out as the answer for a little while until he fizzled.
Oh, yeah. There you go. We should almost have... We're going to almost have to lean on you two guys for this one. The all-Detroit fizzle team. I mean, for modern era players, from, say, 1960 forward, the all fizzle. I mean, we could almost make it from the 80s if you want, but 70s were more kind of fun too. I mean, 60s, maybe we should go from 1970 forward.
Yeah, let's do that.
That makes more sense. 50 some years of flounder.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, but I'm trying to think who's, I mean, especially when we went through that game show of, it's a game show?
Well, I'll tell you, it doesn't matter how far back you want to go, because the Randy Smith era is going to capture most of those slots anyway. All the hype and bullshit we heard about Nate Cornejo and Eric Munson and the rest of those clowns.
All right, I say we'll start from the top. Pujols is worst manager in that whole era.
Yep.
By far.
Yep.
You know, as much as they want to kick Trammell's butt, at least he won a game. You know, Pujols, he had no idea what he was going. I mean, I'd do scrap iron, you know.
Uh-huh.
I think he would almost qualify in that era.
Yeah.
You know, but... All right, so my pick.
Pujols was basically roadkill anyway.
Well, okay, but he still qualifies.
That team, it was
a Trammell team.
You threw a piece of meat at that one. Said, okay, you manage it.
Okay, here we go. From 70 to now, worst third baseman. As much as you want to say Don Wirt, you can't.
No.
I mean, in theory, you could still get the remnants of the 68 folks.
Say worst,
you know?
Or are you going to say fizzle? I mean,
okay, we can go fizzle. When they was supposed to come in with all kinds of la la la.
I am kind of looking at Castellanos right now.
Yeah. Yeah, but remember, he started off fast.
All the hype that guy's had, and he's shown not much of anything. Oh, he's getting better in the field. No, he's not.
He's already got double-digit errors.
He's a hack in the field. And, he's coming to have a breakthrough season at the bat. No, he isn't. He's hitting .220.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
My God.
But remember, he started out strong, so this is a little slump, and he's going to work himself out.
Well, yeah, I mean, he had an impressive spring.
Oh, my God, yeah. And, which means nothing. It means you're going up against Southern Florida College, you know. Whee! All right, biggest fizzle right field from 1970. Mark's looking at the sky. He's a thinking. We're a drinking.
Wow. Higginson?
He was good for a while.
Yeah, he was a savior of that era. You know, Bobby. You know? I mean, biggest fizzle, I would say Rayburn.
Yeah, if you want to put him at right field, fine.
Put him in right field.
You could have put him at third base.
Yeah, like Elon did.
You could put him in shortstop.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, this guy was the second coming of Northrop. Put him anywhere. Or Stanley. Put him anywhere. You know?
Yeah, I mean, Rayburn, you could put the classification of outfielder.
Yeah. Huh.
But yeah, I mean,
who was the guy that went to Texas in like the 80s and 90s? Kaplan?
Oh, Gabe.
Gabe Kaplan. He went to Boston, didn't he? He was in Boston.
Thought he bounced.
Or did he go to Texas, then Boston?
Yeah, because they went to Texas first.
Could have.
Yeah.
You know?
He wasn't a very good outfielder either.
Oh, this guy. But he came in with all lights out. This guy is going to be just pounding back there in center field seats all day long, every day, all day.
I don't know.
All
right, which one out of the two? I don't know.
Well, and wasn't Juan Encarnacion right fielder, too? No, you want to talk about bust, fizzle, Juan Encarnacion.
Because?
Because he was a hack. He came in, he was a five-tool player. I can't tell you how many times I heard that bullshit. Five-tool player. He was terrible.
Okay. Biggest hack, biggest fizzle first base. That big tall kid.
And I want to see Jason Thompson.
Who was the tall kid that went?
Jeff Larish.
He was
a catcher, first base, third base,
right,
wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he sucked at all three. He was terrible, but boy, they hyped him too.
Who was the guy that was going to go to, or went to Tampa Bay to play first base and played there a long time? Big tall kid, I think it was. Yeah, him.
Yeah.
That guy.
Is it Garcia or something like that? Or
no.
Oh.
I know the name. I'm going to make you sweat. Sport director?
Went to Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
Peña. Carlos Peña.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, he wasn't very good either.
No.
No, but not here. He was going to be a flat tool. Tony Clark. Absolutely.
Yep.
Tony Clark in a pure first baseman.
Yeah.
That did pure what?
Yeah.
You know? Whoops, I don't have it ready.
Couldn't hit. Wait. Couldn't field.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was tall. You know, he's big. I mean, we went through like the NBA at one time, which reminds me, congratulations to Cleveland for choking. Oops, sorry.
LeBum.
Now, does LeBum go to L.A.? Go to, now here's this one, and you're hearing it first here. He trapdoors goes out to the Lakers because they get Mr. Ball. So him. I mean, the NBA now is stacking their teams. It's almost like the players are going, like Miami is a perfect example. Let's build ourselves an all-star team, you know, for 3 years and win. Mm-hmm. You know, if LeBron goes to the Lakers, endorsements up the yin-yang.
Uh-huh. Yep.
No matter what he does, he'll bring that team out of somewhere. And if you get Ball, and I hope to God that kid falls on his face just because of his dad, you know, because Magic is all, we're already drafted him, you know.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good luck to you, man.
Yeah, and I, well.
He could bring that thing back like no tomorrow.
Well, you know, it's funny that the Celtics asked him to come over there for a tryout thing.
Who did?
Told him no. The Celtics.
Huh. No, who said? Ball?
Yeah, they asked Ball to come over for like a tryout thing.
No, he's going to be L.A. or nothing. He can't leave his daddy. He can't leave the big baller brand.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and it's like, you know. You know, the Celtics wanted to see, you know, what he can do, whatever, and he just flat just turned him down. It's like, nah, I ain't going there.
Huh. I think his dad is like a low-grade Sean Spencer. Just good God. How many pair of those $500 shoes you sold? Many. How many? Many. I don't have to tell you. Okay. Shut up. You know, I hope your kid falls flat, and I hope the kid behind him falls flat because they're ugly. You know?
Yeah. And I hope when you wear the pair of shoes, the soul falls out of them or something.
Do you know, how many years did he play for UCLA? Two?
Yeah, I think two. Yeah, he's not.
And how, all of a sudden, he's NBA caliber? This is going to be interesting. God love you. I hope you fall on your head. Anyways, talking about falling on your head, not falling on your head, is the Super CPA, Ken Pocket. Ken, what didn't we talk about in 1 minute?
We didn't talk about the Detroit Lions because, you know, we got all these fans out there. They're thinking, oh, the Lions, they got Bob Quinn, and he's doing a great job putting this team together, and they're on the incline, just like those Maple Leafs, right? Except, you know, they had their big draft last year, and they brought in Taylor Decker, and he anchored the offensive line. At left tackle, and they spent some more money to upgrade the offensive line. Things are going to get better, and Taylor Decker has shoulder surgery. Oops!
6 months, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right at 6 months, so that means you missed the season. Thanks a lot for the money. Do not pass go, and you're cut next year. Bye now. Mark, what didn't we talk about in 1 minute? The Toronto Maple Leafs.
The Toronto Maple Leafs. No. Ooh. Hit the boo button just for the hell of it.
There you go.
Well, anyways, all-star voting for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Miguel Cabrera was leading.
Loser.
All-star voting.
How?
But there's a new leader.
Trout.
It's Yonder.
Yonder Alonso, who up until this year was a piece of shit.
Well, yeah, he was definitely had nothing going for him.
Nothing.
But now it's Yonder Alonso from the Oakland Athletics.
Another guy who decided to start elevating the ball.
Right. He's got that little uppercut swing now, and he's... I mean, if you can hit the ball out of Oakland Alameda Coliseum...
World's greatest grass.
That has the world's greatest...
Cut.
World's greatest grass. Yeah. We're talking about in the States.
Yeah, really, yeah.
The guy, you know, the guy definitely deserves it because Cabrera definitely don't deserve it because he's having a bad year.
Yeah,
but somehow, some way, these only guys get voted in no matter what they are. I mean, they're still trying to get K-Rod in there. But talk about getting K-Rod in, K-Rod out. Gotta go.
Not K-Rod, it's just Rod.
That's off-Rod. Anyways, for the Super CPA,
Rod.
Ken Pocket, and for our sport director, Mark Milicek, myself, John Sarver, we will see you again here next Tuesday. If you can't be with us, you can always be with us at Podbean, P-O-D-B-E-A-N, and just put in CKIW, and you'll skip on down to the Sports Authorities, jam-packed. I mean, we have almost a whole page now of these fine Tomes. So, until that time, we will see you next Tuesday, 7 o'clock. See ya!
Bye!
Bye.